and the name of Jesus. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The rich man and Lazarus Jesus speaks of in today's gospel reading were brothers. Brothers not according to the flesh, brothers not according to because they shared a mother and father, but brothers in the Hebrew faith. And yet, the rich man did not treat the poor beggar Lazarus as a brother. He did not keep the fifth commandment, which says, "You shall not murder," and then, as our catechism explains it, goes on to say that we should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. The first morning, the rich man came out of his house and saw Lazarus crumpled by the doorway, clothed in rags, his body covered with sores. The rich man should have called his servants and said, "Here is someone who needs our help. Take him into the house, bathe him, put on him my finest clothes, sit him down, feed him, and make ready a room for him in my house." But he didn't. He walked past and ignored him. He may not have even noticed him in his prideful arrogance, in his fascination with his own wealth. So day after day, the rich man passed Lazarus there, who was daily growing weaker, sicker, who was daily starving to death before the rich man's eyes, and the rich man lifted not a finger. And I ask you, did the rich man fear and love God so that he did not do hurt or harm to his brother Lazarus? I think the answer is no. He failed to fear and love God. He failed to show love to his neighbor. And in the words of John, he hated his brother. Now, to hate someone is in part to see them as an inconvenience, as an intrusion upon your life. To hate someone is even at times to resent their making a claim upon you. As Lazarus, being a fellow Jew with a rich man, had a claim upon the rich man. The Lord wanted the rich man to care for Lazarus, but he didn't. And he ended up condemned. He ended up tormented in agony in hell while Lazarus was taken to rest eternally in what is referred to here as Abraham's bosom, but was in fact in the presence of God. John says that God is love. John says that we as Christians who have benefited from God's love in Christ have come to know and to believe this love that God has for us. John says that whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now let's first get a few things straight. The love spoken of here by John is not referring to emotions, to warm feelings toward a person, or anything like that. It is agape love. It is love in action. It is love that seeks the best, God's best, for the other person. It doesn't mean that loving someone, you and I feel especially close to them. In fact, because of their sin against us, we may not feel close to them. But that does not matter. Not according to the scriptures, not according to God. We are to love that person anyway, because God has loved you and me. God has shown the greatness of His love for you and me by sending His Son in the flesh. Do you want to know what love is? John says elsewhere in his epistle, "This is the way we know love, that Christ laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters," that is, our fellow Christians. "And if anyone sees his brother in need and yet has the world's good, yet closes his heart to him, as the rich man did, how does God's love abide in him?" It's easy to think of ourselves as not being such a bad person after all. That is a lie. If we weren't such bad people, why would God have bothered to send His Son for us? You and I don't deserve God's mercy. We deserve God's condemnation just as surely as the rich man did. And yet the God who is His love showed the greatness of His love in just this manner, that He sent Jesus into our flesh to suffer and die on the cross as a propitiation for all of our sins. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. There is someone you may have difficulty loving. There is someone you may desire to revenge yourself upon. Are you abiding in love? Are you abiding in God? If that is your attitude, I think we would all say, no, that's not abiding in love. That's not abiding in God. So the call then is for us to repent, for us to reflect anew upon the greatness of God's love for us, because while we were still His enemies, God gave His Son to die for us. If you and I carry around grudges against other people, how can we have confidence before God when comes the day of judgment? John says, "By this is love perfected with us, brought to its completion, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment." God's love for us accomplishes things within us. It changes our hearts. recognizing our sin and the mercy of God demonstrated in Christ Jesus, we somehow, by the working of the Holy Spirit, come to desire the best for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, for our neighbor. And thus love is perfected within us. And John says, this is so we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Not because we love and God says, okay, I'm not going to condemn you, but rather because God says, I love you, I'm not going to condemn you. And so we extend love to our neighbor. Again, not love as a feeling, but an active love that seeks and desires and works toward our neighbor's well-being. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, John writes. Fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears God has not been perfected in love. Now, wait, I thought we were supposed to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Yes, we are. But the fear that John is speaking of here is a quivering, trembling, flinching fear. The fear that God is going to punish us, that God is going to give us what we deserve. And that is not how God would have us see Him. As the executioner, as the one who's just waiting to slap us down into hell, as the one who delights in tormenting sinners for all eternity. If that is your view of God, if that is my view of God, then we should repent. And we should be refreshed anew and learn anew of the greatness of God's love for us, the eternality of God's love for us, the depth and height of His love for us. Love that comes to a peak, you could say, here in the divine service, when we receive the gift of love, Christ's very body and blood, into our hands and into our mouths. Mouths, whatever. You see, we love as Christians because God first loved us. When we come to see that God is not the executor, that God is not waiting to nail us with something wrong and send us plummeting into hell, when we recognize His love for us, we can begin to love Him. This was Luther's great struggle because he saw God as the scorekeeper. He saw God as the one who would never be pleased with His good works, His works as a monk, His prayers, His fastings. And then Luther came to understand that God loved him and forgave him and was merciful to him because of Christ Jesus, God's own dear Son. And thus it is for you as well. You love God because He first loved you. You love your fellow Christians because God first loved you. You love your neighbor because God first loved you. That's the way it works. And yet John sounds a warning. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar and does not speak the truth. For how can he love the God whom he has not seen if he does not love his brother whom he sees or whom he is seeing? It's a lie to say such a thing. I love God and yet hate your brother. And it's not nice to lie. This commandment we have from God: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Not love his brother with occasional exceptions. Well, you don't have to love your brother if he did this to you. God understands. You don't have to love your sister in Christ if she gossiped about you. God will understand. It ain't that way at all. God did not say, well, as long as the human race does not engage in sodomy, in murder, in adultery, in torture, I'll send my son to them. God sent his son precisely because we were unlovely creatures. And he loves the unlovely. And thus it is with you and me, dear friends in Christ. Luther says that we should come to the sacrament so we can learn greater faith in God, to love God, and to also love our brother. You have trouble loving someone? Admit it, recognize it as a sin, and then come to receive the gift of love. The gift of love in which we receive the benefits of the cross, where the love of God was displayed to the full. Come to receive Christ's body and blood so that your faith in God's love for you may increase and grow. And that receiving this gift of love, you may learn to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, your neighbors as yourself. And so that you will come to see if God has set aside the debt you owed him. The humongous debt you owed him. How readily then should you be willing to set aside the relatively insignificant debt your brother owes you? We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We love because he first loved us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.